morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today's Friday, April 10th, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Bill Bradbury speaks out on his commitment to environmental stewardship.
Whales and Navy sonar, a bad combination, especially for the whales.
And the top Somali pirate says that they're going ashore, better to negotiate a ransom. And also because they're out of food and fuel.
Portland area weather, rolling gray abstract April skies, ringing with perfect drops of rain. Highs in the 50s, tonight mostly cloudy with a chance of rain, lows in the 30s and 40s. And then this weekend, more of the same and forever.
At least till June. And first we go to news from around the region. So, you think you know mushrooms. Yesterday, we started a discussion on the topic. Today, we go a bit deeper into the subject with an expert on mycological mysteries, Jordan Weiss of Environmentally Sustainable Technology and Tryon Farm. Good morning and welcome.
Hi, how you doing, Chris?
Thanks so much for being with us this morning, Jordan. Tomorrow is a workshop that you're going to be leading on the King Strepharia mushroom. Can you talk a little bit about that and other types of mushrooms that we might be seeing this time of year?
The King Strepharia mushroom, it's a saprophytic mushroom, and it's over the last 30 years there have been a number of books that have been published, mainly by Paul Stamets with his company Fungi Perfecti, and he made it possible for many people to have this kind of fungus grow in their garden. And it's just a beautiful big mushroom, and it fruits in gardens that have a lot of rich organic debris, like wood chips, straw, you know, soft brown compost, and cardboard. And if you have it growing in your garden, it helps. Not only does it help the plants gain nutrients through their root systems, but it also breaks down all that organic matter, and you can build up to an inch of pure organic loamy soil in as little as a year using these mushrooms and just a hand, you know, just cardboard, straw, and wood chips and sheet mulch, you know, in a sheet mulching application.
Why are mushrooms important, Jordan, in the ecosphere?
There's been a lot of research over the last 40 years, and it turns out that our landforms, in order for them to have trees and plants, they needed to be colonized by a wide variety of organisms. And from what I've heard, one of the reasons we have large oil deposits on our planet is because the vegetation that grew up in an environment that was, there was just no fungus, and it rotted into an anaerobic mess. So I think with the various extinctions our planet has had, these asteroids that hit us every now and again, it kind of sets the new stage for the next epoch of life. And when mushrooms came in, they say it's a billion years, but probably 500 million years for the type of mushroom that we know with the cap and stem and the spores. Mushrooms are very important for the planet because they respond to catastrophe. When Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980, some of the first organisms that recolonized the denuded slopes were morels. And this is very important because catastrophe is part of the Earth's natural processes.
Thank you so much for that. Of course, I guess it's been Jordan Weiss of Environmentally Sustainable Technologies. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Jordan.
Thank you, Chris.
Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley have sent a letter to the Secretary of the Navy about concerns over the potential environmental and economic impact of expanded training off the Pacific coast. The expanded warfare training proposal includes underwater minefield testing, explosive ordnance use, expanded land and air-based exercises, and widespread sonar use.
Another dead whale has washed up on the beach on the Oregon coast, only a few miles from where a whale was buried just last month. The Eugene Register Guard newspaper reported the juvenile gray whale that washed up near Florence appeared emaciated. There was no sign that the gray whale had gotten entangled in nets or that it had any significant sores or wounds that might indicate disease or injury. Of course, sonar leaves no marks.
A U.S. Navy spokeswoman said the submarine USS San Francisco used sonar when it passed through the Strait of Juan de Fuca earlier this week. Hydrophones operated by the Friday Harbor-based Whale Museum in Washington's San Juan Islands had picked up loud sonar pings, worrying marine mammal advocates who say the sonar could harm endangered killer whales.
Grisly deaths have been in the news this week, and not the regular man-generated mayhem. A significant rise in the number of grizzly bear deaths last year is going to be the principal topic as bear managers from around the greater Yellowstone ecosystem gather next week in Bozeman, Montana. The interagency grizzly bear study team reported 48 known and probable grizzly deaths, 37 of which could be attributed to human causes. 20 of those human-caused deaths were due to hunter conflicts.
The state appeals court has sided with Eastern Oregon landowners who want to sell parcels of their wheat acreage for vineyards to the displeasure of neighboring farmers. The decision would allow Seven Hills Properties and Powerline Ranch to sell a 1,700-acre property in Umatilla County in smaller McMansion-style morsels.
It's so obvious what they're up to. It's amazing that they have the gall to pretend that this is going to be farmland.
And it's amazing that they get away with it every time.
Every time. The public is invited to an informal open house to discuss plans for the Oregon Sustainability Center, a living building that would be the centerpiece of Oregon's green ethos. The gathering culminates a week-long series of workshops and technical design sessions that explored the vision for the center, as well as its programming, energy, and water use.
Yesterday at PSU, a diverse crowd gathered for the opening of an extraordinary film that tells the story of what we stand to lose if we allow LNG terminals and pipelines in our waters and forests. The featured speaker was Bill Bradbury.
How did you get involved with LNG? Why do you feel so strongly about
stopping this? I guess it started when I got trained by Al Gore to make presentations on global warming. And one of the most fundamental problems with global warming is the use of fossil fuels. And so I was sort of immediately suspicious about a proposal to import more fossil fuels called liquefied natural gas. And as I learned more about liquefied natural gas, and I learned that liquefied natural gas is a whole lot dirtier than natural gas, which is, you know, okay from the Rockies and from Canada, I went, why would we ever commit to a 30, you know, commit, make a 30-year commitment to continuing to import a fossil fuel that we know we have to wean ourselves of? Why would we make a commitment to build this infrastructure to provide 30 more years of the stuff we don't need?
Right.
And it's real basic to me. So it was just a very natural outgrowth of my training in global warming.
Thanks so much. What are you doing next as far as continuing to get the message out?
I am continuing to do global warming shows all over the state of Oregon. I did three in the last 2 days. And I will just continue to work to really make it clear to people that there's some very important changes going on that we all need to get organized to deal with.
Thank you so much. Anything else that you'd like to tell our KBOO listeners?
Well, just I've always loved KBOO, and I'd just like to say hi.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
That was our own Chris Andre speaking with Oregon Secretary of State Bill Bradbury.
The Oregon Economic and Community Development Department says that it's received $28.5 million in federal stimulus funds to help improve drinking water systems. The funds are from the Environmental Protection Agency, so be very, very cautious. Right, try this. We already have the best drinking water in the nation, thanks to Bull Run. This is a thinly veiled attempt to privatize our water. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Despite recent victories on same-sex marriage in Vermont and Iowa, gay rights backers are taking a go-slow approach in trying to overturn Oregon's 2004 constitutional ban on gay marriage. Basic Rights Oregon said yesterday it'll wait until 2012 or later to try to take the issue back to Oregon voters.
The Oregon House yesterday moved to crack down on woo-woo. The House overwhelmingly endorsed legislation aimed at protecting Oregonians from unlicensed therapists and counselors. House Bill 2506 works on multiple fronts. It prohibits professional counselors and marriage and family therapists from practicing without state licenses. It also bans mental health professionals from working if their licenses have been revoked.
A class of undergraduates at MIT has created a set of robots that can water, harvest, and pollinate cherry tomato plants. The robots move through the garden and they're networked to the plants. When the plants indicate they need water, the robots can sprinkle them from a water pump. When the plants have a ripe tomato, the machines pluck the fruit with their arms.
There's just no response. There's nothing that you can say to something like that. President Barack Obama wants $83 billion in the form of supplemental spending to continue bellicose behavior in Iraq and Afghanistan, two places Americans were once vaguely curious about but have long since lost interest. They are, however, very interested in where their money is going. KBOO Spencer Raymond joins us to consider this. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, that is the question. Where is this $83.4 billion in 2009 that Obama wants to spend to really keep things going in the Middle East, that meaning Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan? So where in the Bush administration we may have seen these kind of ad hoc spending bills specifically for wars just for Iraq, just about almost the entire amount of this money would go to military efforts in the Middle East to help stabilize these countries. And that is what the White House is saying. Chris, it's also important to point out how Obama voted on Bush versions of this legislation back in 2005 and 2006 when he was in the Senate. Just to give you an example of a few. In 2005, Obama voted yes for an $82 billion war fund for Iraq and Afghanistan. In 2006, he voted yes for a $94 billion specifically war-funded bill. And there's more that Obama, it seems like for his early time in the Senate, he was supportive for these kind of budgets. Like, this isn't in the budget. This is a separate spending bill just for the war. Then he has supported this in the past. I don't think that doesn't really go along with what he said on the campaign trail, though.
This is something that we're going to have to talk more about. Clearly, there are problems. And I think that Obama is going to be confronted with some outrage as soon as this really hits home and people have a chance to think about it. There are huge anti-American demonstrations in Baghdad just this week, and that's something that if we're really going to have a new attitude towards the rest of the world, we're going to have to take that into account. Thank you so much for that, Spencer. That, of course, was KBOO's reporter Spencer Raymond joining us, as he does every weekday, with DC Dirt. Thanks for that, Spencer.
Thanks, Chris.
A Somali in contact with a pirate leader says the captors of the USC captain want a ransom, and they're ready to kill him if they're attacked. The Somali, who helped negotiate a ransom paid last year for a Ukrainian ship carrying tanks, spoke today on condition of anonymity for fear of reprisals.
Well, duh!
He says the plan is to get the hostage to shore to negotiate from a better position. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Friday, April 10th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints, analysis of Obama's new weapons projects, the untold story of the Iraqi resistance, and the significance of the U.S. indictment of a Cuban exile for bombing of a Cuban airliner and other acts.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.